SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time. A Thursday to look back on a 9-game slate around the association. A wild night in college basketball. Now just 2 days away from the month of March. A reminder, as always, the chaos in CBB, the madness does not wait until March, as was on full display last night. We'll go around the NFL Combine, some prospect news for a potential number one overall draft pick, and a source off in Indy that leads to a fisticuffs almost inside a coffee shop in downtown Indianapolis. And Donnie is trying to tell me that Indy is not a great sports hosting city. Drama, always. Some NFL rule changes, all of that DRS over the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yep, Indy always attracting the lowest common denominator there. It's mixing up, getting into each other's face and business out there because nothing goes on in the field. You got to start it off. But by the way, if you are looking tonight, people, at the college basketball card and say, look at all these games. Nobody, nothing I can even sink my teeth into. No. Your boy last night was handicapping High Point. Your boy was handicapping Lipscomb. A little Arizona State action last night. These are the fun nights here. So a Thursday night, they're like, hey, I don't have much to do. Nonsense. This looks like a fantastic card to sink your teeth into, boys.
Only two top 25 teams in action, DRS, on this Thursday evening. So we will dive deep into all the action that you need. Just two power conference games, but do not fret. There will still be some winners in college hoops to break down a little bit later on. But let's start in Indianapolis. The drama may be on the field for number one overall pick potential Abdul Carter, the game rocker and the edge rusher out of Penn State, already not working out at the combine in Indy because of a shoulder injury. Medical evals yesterday, Donnie, showed a stress reaction in his right foot. Abdul Carter and his team mulling over his options if it will require surgery, which would mean he might miss his pro day in about a month as well. Any concern for Abdul Carter moving forward in this draft process?
I don't have any concern here, but I did find out over the past couple weeks that he is a huge Eagles fan. Could this be a little bit of espionage here? So he drops 31 spots to number 32, and the Philadelphia Eagles draft him in the first round? Of course, I'm joking, and that's probably not going to happen. I don't have any issues. Let me tell you something here. If a doctor says all he has to do is get a pin in place in four weeks or 8 weeks, he's going to be back to normal. I'm not dropping his draft stock at all. The guy's an absolute predator on the field. He'll be drafted high, but he ain't getting drafted number one, regardless if he's healthy or not.
Yeah, so that's a part of the conversation as well. Yeah. Would he even be the first overall selection? The Titans currently holding that pick in desperate need of a quarterback. But Donnie is correct. His two options, a pin in place for some minor surgery, out 8 weeks, and then ready to go for the remainder of his offseason, probably even before the NFL draft. Or would he put off the surgery if he does not need it to be able to work out at his pro day to prove to everybody he should be that top selection in the draft? Let's get to college basketball news in Carter's conference. That would be the Big Ten. An ugly game throughout. A defensive struggle in College Park and a top 20 tilt between number 16 Maryland and number 8 Michigan State until the final 2 seconds from 60 feet away, further than half court. Trey Holloman at the buzzer delivers the victory for the Spartans, their 14th Big Ten win. They stay atop the conference standings and win outright as an underdog, 58-55, as a 3.5-point dog in College Park. Trey Holloman, the hero. And again, 2 days out from March, the madness never waits.
Yeah, we had two teams in the Big Ten just a short while ago. Neither one scored 50 points. So Michigan State, Maryland said, hold my beer. Let's go real high scoring, 58-55. And the cap was never in doubt. +3.5 all the way home. Splash City from midcourt. Michigan State 14-3 now in the Big Ten. And for me, the best team in the Big Ten.
There you see the celebration. Trey Holloman, one of the vocal leaders of this MSU team, in a game tied at 55-all after Jacoby Gillespie missed a potential game-winning three for the Terps. Holloman takes advantage from near half court. What a thriller last night in College Park. What a win for Vanderbilt last night on the road in College Station against number 12 Texas A&M, making three consecutive losses for the Aggies, but a huge road win for Vandy to almost solidify the March resume. DRS, Mark Byington at his doors in Byington's first year in Nashville, very likely going dancing now.
Yeah, can everybody in the SEC go dancing at this point? Because it's apparent anybody can beat anybody on any given night, which included the foul fest that we saw last night. 36 free throw attempts for Vanderbilt, 39 free throw attempts there for the Aggies, 86-84, and a second half that combined for 104 points. An exciting night, and the Doors got it done.
Vanderbilt wins outright as a 7.5-point road underdog. Number 17, Kentucky, a 3.5-point road favorite in Norman, back and forth throughout, but Otega Owe against his former team, the OU transfer, drops a career-high 28 points to lead Kentucky to a win, including a floater with about 6 seconds remaining in regulation. 83-82, the victory for Kentucky. The Sooners do cover as a 3.5-point home dog.
Yeah, what a close one it was. We expected points in that game, and we got those. However, if you were looking at that Kentucky Wildcats team total, 83.5. They scored 83. Tough one there. Tough one.
163.5, that closing total. It does trickle over. The hottest team, maybe, in the NBA. The hottest Pistons team we have seen in more than a decade and a half. Make it 8 wins in a row for Detroit, their longest win streak, the first time winning 8 straight since 07-08, clobbering the reigning champs at home in the Motor City. A 20-point win, 117-97. Detroit wins outright as a 5-point home dog, snapping the Celtics' 6-game win streak, and again, prolonging their own win streak. Make it 8 in a row for the Pistons.
Rested and ready, not actually having to play the night before. Huge difference, as we told you yesterday. I was taking the Pistons. Give me the 4.5. Didn't need the 4.5. Heck, he could have covered 19.5. Goodness.
26 points off the bench. 6 made triples for Malik Beasley. The Pistons have won 8 in a row for the first time since 2008. Crazy. The last year they won a playoff game. They would be a playoff team as of this moment. Coincidence or not, Matthew Stafford in the state of Montana meeting with Tom Brady. Fox's Jordan Schultz says that Brady hosted Matthew Stafford at his Montana house. Ian Rappaport says they just conveniently ran into each other on vacation. Led to that scuffle in a Starbucks in Indy between the two NFL insiders. But Donnie, it does seem as though the Raiders have a lot of interest in Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, you know what? In the best way, don't listen to Ian Rappaport or Jordan Schultz or any national outlets. Let's hear Kelly Stafford tell the tale of exactly what's going down in the personal life and also business life of Matthew Stafford. She'll probably tell us tomorrow where exactly he's going and how much money he's going to make.
I discarded her opinion once. Maybe I was incorrect. Yeah. The NFL implementing electronic first downs starting in 2025. We'll have time for Donnie to react to that a little bit later on. We continue our reactions to a huge Wednesday night in college hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are 2 days away from the month of March. Only 2 days remain in this month of February, but down the home stretch of our college basketball regular season before conference tournaments begin this weekend, next week, and at the high major level in about 10 days. we've got some chaos and madness already. The game of the night in College Hoops, in College Park, a hugely important game for the Big Ten regular season title race, for Big Ten double byes in the conference tournament, and a top 20 tilt between 16th-ranked Maryland and number 8 Michigan State. The Spartans trying to stay atop the Big Ten title race. Maryland trying to make up some ground and solidify a double bye into that conference tournament and trying to prove who might be the Big Ten's best shot of contending in the big dance. And for most of the night, shots weren't going down on either side for the Spartans or the Terrapins. There was some ugly basketball. There was some great defense on display as well, but it really came down to the final 20 seconds. After Michigan State was denied at the rim, Maryland takes it down the other side of the floor, maybe a little bit too prematurely. Jacoby Gillespie, the Terps guard, hoists from three with about 5 ticks remaining in regulation, comes up short. Jackson Cole with the rebound off to Trey Holloman from 60 feet. Bang! You bet. Michigan State wins by 3, 58-55, as Trey Holloman plays the hero, a near half-court buzzer beater to give the Spartans that 3-point win, winning outright as a 3.5-point road underdog in College Park. We have said since November, heck, Donnie has been saying since the end of January, do not wait until March to take in this beautiful sport that is college basketball. The madness does not rest, as we saw on display last night in College Park.
Love it. This is collegiate sports at its best here. Why? Because we don't get this, people, in the NBA. You know what happened? After the rebound, Izzo would have called a timeout. Fast forward 60 feet up the court. Maybe you get a corner three ball to go down. Oh, that's exciting. No. Half court shots. Full court shots. You get that in college basketball, and you love to see it. And also, you want one more quick shot at the NBA? If that was Damian Lillard carrying the basketball up around midcourt, he wouldn't have shot it until after the horn, because he wouldn't have had to. You know what? I probably won't make it. It's going to hurt my actual statistics on my 3-point shot. And college kids don't care about that. Leaving it all, you can have Picasso performances with 83-80, 82-81, but you still get these 58-55. What a boring game. Nonsense. A fantastic basketball game where I told you yesterday, Michigan State plus 3.5 was the side. And also, Michigan State doesn't care about the 3-point shot until they need to sink a half-court shot. They only made 3 3-point shots on the road against a ranked team and only 10 made free throws and still won. I love the versatility of you can win pretty and you can win ugly. Izzo's got these boys locked in.
Yeah, he certainly does. And Tom Izzo has said all year long in East Lansing, this Michigan State team resembles the great Michigan State teams that Izzo has had. They have made 5 Final Fours since the 04-05 season. The most recent for Sparty was back in 2018-19. The similarities between that MSU team and this year's version are incredibly similar, and they are feeling great about where they stand atop the Big Ten, 14-3, the conference record for the Spartans, and feeling great about their March outlook. And of course, when it comes to that postseason pedigree, DRS, very few coaches in college basketball have a more illustrious resume than that of Tom Izzo. Again, when you look at the shooting percentages last night, Michigan State 33.8. They hit 4 threes, including the one from 58 feet from Trey Holloman that won it at the buzzer. Maryland was 31.3% from the floor, 4 of 20 from deep. Not their best game either. But Donnie, when you look at how this Michigan State team has prevailed this year, they're against the spread record as an underdog. 5-1-1 against the spread. All 5 of those covers, an outright victory for the Spartans, including 3 times in their last 4 games. On the road at Illinois, on the road at Michigan in the rivalry bout on Friday evening, and on the road against the Maryland team yesterday that was playing great ball as well. Winners of 4 in a row, covering in 3 of those 4. It is about making statements this time of year with March very much on the horizon. And the Spartans did just that in College Park.
Absolutely, they didn't. Take a look. This has been a tough road so far. The last four games, three of those have been on the road. Quality win at Illinois. You beat Purdue at home. Then you go on the road to beat Michigan and Maryland back-to-back, which is impressive, but it doesn't get all that much easier. You have one game against Iowa on the road that's going to take place on March 6th, which we'll probably win that because Iowa's not having a good season. But at home, right, you're going to get Wisconsin and Michigan to end the season. You are padding that resume here. And also, if you want that regular season Big Ten championship, you're going to have to earn it if you're Michigan State. And Tom Izzo probably wouldn't have it any other way.
No, he certainly would not. And it could come down to that regular season finale, yep, against the rivals, the Maize and Blue. It was a classic in the Chrysler Center. We would expect the same on the final day of the regular season in Big Ten men's basketball inside the Breslin Center in East Lansing. But having a couple of those games at home should be an advantage for MSU. Michigan at home tonight, trying to bounce back from a sluggish game against Nebraska, and the loss to Michigan State on Friday. They host Rutgers tonight as a 9.5-point favorite. Important game as well for Maryland DRS with the loss, snapping that four-game win streak. The Terps had gone over in all four, by the way. There is now a three-way tie for what would be the fourth and final double bye in the conference tournament with the Terps, Purdue, and UCLA. Purdue and UCLA, by the way, play tomorrow night inside Mackey Arena. Very important as we look at the odds once again for both of these two teams. Plus 420 for MSU. A 25-1 number now to win the national championship. Yesterday, Donnie, that was 40-1. It has dropped by $15 based on Michigan State continuing to show its resolve on the road. These are important numbers to know as we enter the end of the regular season.
Yes, and also winning the right way here, playing good defense, but also not relying on the death of the three-point shot. If you don't make it, you're out of the tournament. Those are the fun teams that you like to play, because I keep pointing out, you're not playing on your home court, which is where you typically shoot your best. You're on the road throughout the entire parts of the tournament. Play that good dig.
More scores around college hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We go around the country in college basketball. In this segment, a focus on the SEC. We have seen some upsets in this league during this second to last week of the regular season within the Southeastern Conference, including a big one last night in College Station. Texas A&M back home, hoping to snap a two-game slide, now ranked outside of the top 10, number 12 in the country. Should have been relatively easy, at least by SEC standards, booked as a 7.5-point home favorite. But as we have learned, DRS, nothing comes easy in the SEC, in the gauntlet of that conference, this college basketball campaign. Vanderbilt goes on the road and picks up a huge resume boost, winning 86-84 outright as a 7.5-point dog in College Station.
Yeah, good win by them. And also, the advantage of being at home is not just your fans. Like, you're used to that environment, the shooting lanes here, as well as the rims. That's your building. So when you're at home, you shoot 37% from the floor. That's going to put you in trouble. You shoot 32% from three-point range. That's going to keep you in trouble. But also, understand this, they went 31 of 39 from the free throw line. So they almost had 40 free throw attempts. That should be enough just to win that game, because you feel the other team's absolutely in foul trouble and won't be able to compete. And let alone, you had 24 fouls yourself. It's one of those games that you look at, it is a resume builder, but lets you know the strength of the SEC, because Vanderbilt didn't bring like an A game. Like, what did you want us to do, Ben? They shot 55% from three-point range. Yes, they were solid, close to 42%, only making 41% from the floor as a team here. That's a really good win. And as I said, second half here, Texas A&M used to be known for playing really good defense. 52 points by the road team in your own building. That can't happen. That's how you lose basketball games.
40 points off the bench for Mark Byington and Vandy as well. Five guys played off the bench. They scored 40. They nearly scored half of their team's output. But Tyler Nickel, not to be undone, the Vandy sharpshooter who, yeah, last name Nickel, wears number 5. 21 points, DRS. 7 of 13 from the floor. All seven made field goals.
Yeah.
from beyond the arc. And there was probably a good chance that Vanderbilt would be on the right side of the bubble, even with a loss last night against the Aggies. But a road win was something that had kind of eluded the Commodores' resume up until this juncture of the season. For Mark Byington to pick it up for Vandy last night is huge. Vanderbilt should be in to the big dance. And Byington, who spent the last few seasons at JMU, led the Dukes to the tournament a season ago, could have Vandy in the big dance in his first year in Nashville. Another really good game last night in the SEC, decided by just a point in Norman, Oklahoma, 17th-ranked Kentucky, and OU, the Sooners, a 3.5-point home underdog. But a huge second half and a huge night overall for Kentucky's Otega Owe, the Oklahoma transfer back in Norman, delivering a career-best 28 points, including the game-winning bucket with about 6 ticks remaining in regulation. Kentucky wins 83-82, does not cover as a 3.5-point road favorite, but I will tell you, Mark Pope will take the outright victory on the road against the Sooners.
Yeah, struggled down the stretch for sure, where they couldn't really make any field goals there, let alone getting to the rim and having success. They end up winning that game by 1 point. Look at Oklahoma at home, 53% from the floor, 40% from three-point range, 70% from the free throw line. Just wasn't good enough in that game. It's just the way it falls. Like, we know how talented Kentucky is from an offensive perspective, but not so good on defense. They were able to come up with just enough stops to win that basketball game. You'll take it any way that you can get it. 1 point, 10 points, 15 points. A conference victory on the road is always a good victory.
A very big game for bubble perspective. OU trying to stay on the right side as well. A 13-0 start this year for Oklahoma. Now 4-11 in the SEC. In their last 10 games now as an underdog in conference play, 4-6 against the number, including an outright victory on Saturday at home against Mississippi State, but not the result they were hoping for, with a huge quad one opportunity at home last night against Kentucky. 5 quad one wins for Porter Moser and his Sooners this year, DRS. We'll see if it is enough to keep Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament field. And we have talked about Auburn, still the number one team in the country, plodding along. Listen, they'll just take wins in SEC play, even if they're not covering numbers, not being overly impressive. Last night they were against a reeling Ole Miss team. Auburn wins by 30 at home, 106-76, covering as a 13.5-point favorite.
What's crazy is you score 40 points on the road in the first half and 36 in the second. We're right in this one. Did we win it? No. You got beat by 30. That shows you how strong the Auburn Tigers have been this year.
14-1 straight up in SEC play. Now 7-8 against the spread. More college basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid, recapping the entirety of a Wednesday night slate around college basketball. Donnie, one final point about Auburn's 30-point win last night against Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Not just the fact the Rebs have now dropped 3 in a row, but Jahni Broome leading Auburn to that victory. 24 points, 9 boards, 4 assists, and 2 blocks, has become the Wooden Award favorite, the National Player of the Year frontrunner, once again surpassing Duke's Cooper Flagg, the outstanding freshman. Minus 250 now for Jahni Broome on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, not a lot of time left to go to make up that difference here. And I guess you're looking at, you're getting the product of the best player on the best team in the best conference, those extracurriculars that I always like to look at to sort of push you ahead of there. And it's not as if that you're saying like, well, what is, you know, one kid doing versus the other kid, that they're both playing really good basketball. But sometimes you just have to give the nod to the superstar player, again, in the biggest conference on the number one team. It's just the way it is.
Yep, best player on the best team. It does track when you're putting up those numbers and you're helping your team in a variety of facets. You are going to get the benefit of the doubt. Jahni Broome has had a sensational year, as has Cooper Flagg. Both teams expected to make a deep run in the month of March. Last night, by the way, quad one win number 15 for Auburn. Number 15 for Auburn. Only two teams in the country have double-digit quad one victories. Alabama, the other, with only 10. Auburn has 15. As stellar of a resume as we have seen in a very long time for who is going to be the number one overall seed, more than likely, in the NCAA tournament. But a big night in Indianapolis, not just with combine news or drama around the NFL, but also for St. John's as they go to Butler in a tightly contested game inside Hinkle and prevail. 76-70, the win for the Red Storm. Butler closed as a 6.5-point home underdog, so they do get the cover. But Donnie, here is why the night was monumental for the Johnnies. Mm-hmm. Number 7 St. John's now clinches at least a share of the Big East regular season championship. The first Big East regular season crown for St. John's men's basketball in more than three decades, since 1991-92. The final year that Lou Carnesecca was the head coach up in Queens. That is the Rick Pitino difference, who is now the first ever coach at the D1 level to lead five different programs to a regular season conference crown.
Playing really good defense all the way through as well, holding the home team to 39% from the floor and only 22% from three-point range. Now, we did have a little bit of a hot streak for St. John's over the past couple of games. Hey, looks like we can make the three-point shot. Well, they dipped right back to 4-for-15, and it didn't matter because they played good defense down the stretch to hold on. Took that six-point lead at the half, even up in the second half. St. John's, an interesting story heading into the tournament. As Rick Pitino said, hey, what do you think about a share of the Big East? We don't want to share this with anybody. So the laser focus for the Johnnies just to continue to win and knock down even more statistics, which includes, as you said, it's not like we do this every year at St. John's. It's nice, man. It's been a long time since they actually won the Big East.
In 2 weeks, how electric is it going to be inside the world's most famous arena, inside Madison Square Garden, with St. John's more than likely the number one overall seed in that Big East tournament? Man, it's going to be good. Rick Pitino on the verge, more than likely will, once it becomes official in about 17 days from Selection Sunday, when St. John's gets into the NCAA tournament, to lead six different programs to the big dance. That is incredible. Boston University, Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, Iona, St. John's. I believe that was six. I'll double check my math right there. But for Rick Pitino, this is what he has done. St. John's looking for their first NCAA tournament win as a program since the year 2000. Big one in the ACC for Clemson to stay in that regular season title hunt at home last night as a 13.5-point dog against a struggling Notre Dame side. Clemson made good on the number, winning by 15 points, 83-68. Duke still is ahead in those ACC standings, but of course Clemson has the tiebreaker with that head-to-head victory. The Tigers still keeping pace on the heels of those Blue Devils.
And that's good, too, because sometimes you look down the stretch where you're, as a coach, you want to keep your kids focused, like Duke has to be focused. Hey, we didn't wrap everything up, and we can just, you know, dilly-dally around over the past, the next 2 to 3 games, let's just say. So Clemson's staying on the heels, 83 points at home, a nice victory for them. Shot 39% from the three-point line, 47% as a team here from overall in the field, and about 78% to 80% from the free-throw lines. Look, Clemson, it's hard. Duke gets all the headlines in the ACC, but there are some quality opponents where you might sleep on them come tournament time because you're saying the ACC isn't all that deep, but you're going to be putting teams with 25, 26, 27 wins in the tournament as sleepers in a major conference. Kind of wild.
Ian Sheflin last night leading Clemson 24 points, 9 of 11 from the floor. The Tigers balanced 18th most efficient offense in the country, 28th most efficient defense. Some Big 12 basketball as well. Arizona makes quick work of Utah, 83-66. They covered as a 15.5-point favorite. Number 25, BYU, ranked for the first time this year. 4.5-point road favorite in Tempe against ASU. They win 91-81. Great first year for Kevin Young in Provo. Richie Saunders, 6 made triples last night. Arkansas keeping their NCAA tournament hopes afloat, although it was a difficult game at home in Fayetteville. 3.5-point favorite, trailing Texas late in the final 2 minutes of regulation, force overtime and win in OT, 86-81.
Yeah, good win there again. And you take a look at Coach Cal and his boys trying to get better as the season progresses, which they have done here. It'll be interesting. And again, the fight to put every single team in the SEC in March Madness. But again, you still have the teams like South Carolina out there with one victory, obviously not getting home. But they could say, hey, we played the toughest schedule in the country. What did you want us to do? Win more than one game in conference play. But a quick point last night, BYU and Arizona State, 91-81. It was clear both of those teams are going to fall in love with the three-point line. And BYU, Ben, 17 of 34 on the road, which is 50% from three-point range. And you still had Arizona State make eight of those shots. I believe it was 73.5 was the team total for Arizona State. That's the way I was looking at the game. They ended up getting to 81 here, but a high-scoring affair, as expected.
Got to feel that everything went to the over last night. So a big win for Arkansas to stay on the right side of the bubble. A big win for Indiana, not faltering after the rivalry upset inside Assembly Hall against Purdue on Sunday. They hold off Penn State 83-78. The Nittany Lions do cover as a 6.5-point dog, but a big night. A big, big night for IU. Villanova, low-scoring affair against Seton Hall. They win 59-54, under 130.5. Nova was an 8.5-point favorite against Seton Hall in New Jersey. Hall ball, just not a great team. Many of unders to be had. Memphis had a close one against Rice. They do prevail by 12. And from that bubble perspective, DRS, big night around the ACC. The most recent ESPN bracketology that we were discussing earlier this week on Tuesday morning from Joe Lenardi had Wake Forest as the final team into the field of 68. The Demon Deacons beat last night by Virginia, 83-75. That is a loss that the Deacs could ill afford, and they took.
Yeah, 83 points Virginia scored against you. You shouldn't make the tournament just based on that. Virginia loves to play 55-65 at that point, so that's an incredible loss for them. How about the Villanova game? Sometimes, like, you just take a look and say, Seton Hall in New Jersey. I live in New Jersey. Ooh, I like Villanova. Maybe I put them in a parlay, like their team total here. Wasn't able to bet it. Good thing they only scored 59 points last night, but still won. And by the way, come on, Seton Hall. 33-21 at the break. You come out and score 21 points yourself in the second half to get beat in that game. 2-15 in conference play. And this isn't even a great Big East, and you're 2-15. Tough times there for the Pirates at the Rock last night.
It really is. There's not a lot of investment into the Seton Hall program. Of course, Shaheen Holloway, a name that everybody knows from leading St. Peter's in that magical Cinderella run. A difficult time for Seton Hall. UConn and Creighton double-digit wins in the Big East last night as well. Let's get you some NBA action, including Detroit basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A matchup last night in the Motor City between two teams riding some of the longest win streaks actively around the association. Detroit entered yesterday's game, winners of seven in a row. The reigning NBA champs and this year's title favorites, the Boston Celtics, entered last night in Detroit, winning six consecutively. One streak would continue, one would be snapped. The odds makers expected it, of course, to be Detroit, even at home, 5-point dog against the reigning NBA champs and those title favorites in the Celtics. The odds makers were incorrect. Make it 8 wins in a row for the Pistons, and doing so in blowout fashion. A 20-point win over Boston, 117-97. 5-point underdog at home for the Pistons. They win outright. First 8-game winning streak for Detroit since 2008. The last year, this Pistons organization won an NBA playoff game. It is starting to feel like a historic season in the Motor City.
It does, and also sometimes you just have the advantage of when you play a great team like the Boston Celtics, who had to play the night before. The Pistons did not. Jaylen Brown sits this one out. And where do you usually get caught up if you are a team on back-to-backs? They played a pretty good first half, but in the second half, outscored 35-24 in the third quarter and 27-18 in the fourth quarter for an easy 20-point victory for Detroit. You saw that line yesterday, +4.5. It was a Celtics line. But I'm like, you know what? This is one of those times where if you are the Pistons, as I said yesterday, forget about the X's and O's, Ben. You want to rise up and play a team like the Celtics and beat them so you can file that one away when maybe you need it down the stretch or in the playoffs, that you can beat quality opponents on your home court in a big game. Yeah. For the Celtics, it was just another night in February. They didn't bring their A game. They're on a back-to-back without one of their best players, and they lost the game. They won't lose any sleep, but that's a big win for the Pistons, just as I said again, to say, you know what? We can compete at the top level with the best teams in the NBA.
And that seven-game win streak for Detroit was their first in a decade since 2014-15, and they were booked as a slight favorite in their last five wins entering last night. They went outright as the dog, 22-14-2 against the spread this year as an underdog. Still a majority of Detroit's game booked as a dog, 17th outright win, matching Chicago for the second most outright wins as an underdog this year in the NBA. What a season for the Pistons. Malik Beasley off the bench hit a bunch of threes to lead Detroit last night. Let's go elsewhere around the Eastern Conference. We head up to Madison Square Garden. The Philadelphia 76ers have anything left in the tank? They kept things close inside MSG as a double-digit dog against the New York Knicks, but the Knicks do ultimately prevail 110-105, led by 34 points and 15 made free throws from Jalen Brunson. New York gets back on track after two consecutive losses over the weekend to the Cavaliers and the Celtics. The Knicks have struggled against the best of the best, but they do, for the most part, take care of business against those teams near the bottom half of the standings.
Yeah, we knew Joel Embiid was going to be out, and I still handicapped it yesterday thinking I was going to get a full gas lineup there for the Knicks. Took the plus 10 just on the basis of you got embarrassed in your last game. You're going into Madison Square Garden. If there's one game you're going to get up for and show some pride, it's playing in the Mecca, and the Sixers did that. But early on, looked like they were going to get blown out, but a nice charge in the second half led by Paul George. He actually had the lead late in that basketball game, not able to hold on. So give credit to the Knicks here for coming back, but also Paul George, 25 points, which is fine. 9 of 20 from the field. Not ultra efficient, but you'll take that. Maxi, 0 of 10 from three-point range. That's probably the dagger that did the Philadelphia 76ers in. But the Sixers right now contemplating shutting Joel Embiid down for the rest of the season. Yeah. Longest losing streak in about a decade. It's time to do that. So we'll see if they do.
30 points for Tyrese Maxey, despite going 0-for, yet attempting 10 triples last night from beyond the arc. Speaking of Paul George, a big second half resurgence, 25 points, 8 boards, 7 dimes, 3 steals. Maybe because PG was a little bit more focused last night. He announced yesterday that he wants to let the Podcast P family know that after his episode with, I guess, Dwight Howard, I'm not entirely sure, he is shutting down the podcast for the time being down the stretch run. So as he said, he can focus on getting the 76ers into NBA championship contending form. Hey, Podcast P might be a little late to try to form into contending P at this moment.
Yeah, he actually had a pretty good game, too. 25-8-7-3. You'll like that. Did have 7 turnovers here, which led the Sixers, which you don't want to see. But I understand, like, where he's coming from. But also, why would you put yourself in that predicament? Like, I can't even imagine having a podcast during an NBA season where your goal was to actually tell intel from your own team to keep it interesting and talk with other NBA players. And it's such a bad look. It's one thing if you're like, hey, you know, we're the Cleveland Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell has a brand new podcast and they're rolling. Like, yeah, that's exciting. It's fun. The fans can buy in. They're one of the best teams in the NBA. But when you yourself are having a terrible season, therefore your team is having a terrible season, you're putting the interest of the team behind and saying, hey, you know what? And I'm not saying he's got to go work on his jump shot, but hey, you know, we're on an 8-game losing streak. Yo, join me tonight when I have so-and-so on as a guest. Like, nobody wants to hear that. It's just better. The optics are terrible when you run a podcast on a bad basketball team when you're max contract player. It just is.
Thought that was a Sentel tweet for a little bit. RIP to our sweet prince. But Paul George, let's not mince words, has been abysmal. I mean abysmal this year with Philadelphia. After his acquisition, before the trade for Carl Anthony Towns by the Knicks, the Philadelphia 76ers had the second best price to win the Eastern Conference crown, seen as a legitimate challenge for the Boston Celtics. Nope. Right now, Philadelphia with a cover, Donnie, great, but they still have lost 9 consecutive games. Their only cover in the 9-game slide was last night against the Knicks. The story for New York, as we have shared, 0-7 against the teams around the NBA that have won at least 40 games, Cavs, Celtics, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, now 38-13 straight up against everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough seeing here. You're just taking a look at some of these teams out here with the high expectations. Not everybody can live up to those, but when you fall short, it's just like, hey, you know what? Another playoff run, couldn't get to the third round. And the Sixers are like, yeah, we might have our worst season since the process when we're not even actually trying to be part of the process right now. That's how demoralizing this season has been for the Philadelphia 76ers.
The Knicks, a favorite in 50 of 58 games, now 25-24-1 against the spread. New York has not covered in their 4 games since the All-Star break. More NBA action from last night next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to recap the action from around the association last night on a Wednesday, here on a Thursday morning, rounding out our opening hour on the early line. DRS, as we were breaking down a game yesterday, OKC on the road in Brooklyn, the Thunder booked as a 16.5 point favorite just a few nights following, squandering a 24 point fourth quarter advantage against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We thought Oklahoma City would come out absolutely pissed off. It took them a little bit. They were trailing by as many as 18 points in the opening quarter against Brooklyn last night inside the Barclays Center before they flipped the script and rallied. 126-116, the victory for OKC. Maybe I messed up the final score. 129-121, excuse me. OKC does indeed rally. Brooklyn does cover as a 16.5 point home underdog. Oklahoma City gets a win, Donnie. Not as comfortable to a cruise as we expected for the Thunder last night.
Yeah, and also, I guess, you know, OKC was like, hey, Brooklyn, you want to let you run out to an early lead? We're going to make you feel the same pain we felt the other day. And they said, okay, let's do it. And they end up winning by 8 points. But how about this for OKC? 4 players for OKC that scored 20 or more points. Holmgren, yeah. Williams, SGA, of course, and then Aaron Wiggins off the bench. That's a balanced scoring attack. And say what you want. One of the best teams in the NBA now, 47-11. That would have been a terrible look to get waxed by Brooklyn in Brooklyn. Maybe a dead environment that you get caught up into where you're just looking for some excitement against a higher level team. But credit Oklahoma City for coming back from that early deficit and really turning it on the second half, winning the third quarter 29-20, and then the fourth quarter 39-25 points with a go-ahead victory.
47 victories now for OKC. They are 21-7 away from home. Big victory for the Oklahoma City Thunder, although Brooklyn does cover. And Donnie, as we have shared, teams like the Nets, even though they are kind of flirting with an Eastern Conference playoff spot, they are not a good basketball team, as you see that overall record, 21-37. They have been booked as an underdog now in 48 of 57 games. They are 27-21-1 against the spread. Make that 49 of 57 games for the Brooklyn Nets. So at least they are being competitive in terms of what they are doing. A 9-point spread in favor of the Los Angeles Clippers last night on the road inside the United Center against the Chicago Bulls. And Donnie, we said even with James Harden and Kawhi Leonard in the lineup, too many points to back the Clips if Norman Powell is not out there. The Clippers had lost all 3 games since the All-Star break, not covering in any of those 3 losses without Norman Powell, who has not played post All-Star break for LA. The Clippers do snap their 3-game slide, but the Bulls do cover. 122-117, the victory for LA.
Yeah, like the Bulls with the 8.5 yesterday at home here, going up against a more talented Clippers team, no doubt. And the Bulls technically are trying to tank, but other teams around them technically aren't letting them tank like the Philadelphia 76ers. But if you do look at this game, it's funny how we break down and handicap college basketball games to the pros. Like, hey, look at that college. You made 7 3-point shots. Like, each one of these teams made 19 3-point shots. There were 38 3-point shots made combined between these two, which is why you had that higher scoring game. And also, your best 3-point shooter, Norm Powell, didn't even play in this one. So that that is pretty impressive. 52% from the floor for the Clippers, 51% from the three-point line, and 88% from the free throw line was just enough to get a victory here for the Clips.
The Miami Heat returning the favor last night in South Beach against the Atlanta Hawks. The Heat had entered, dropping six of their last seven games, including against Atlanta on Monday night in the A as a 2.5-point road dog. They lost 98-86 in a low-scoring game. Miami a 2.5-point home favorite last night against the Atlanta Hawks. A much higher-scoring affair, 131-109, the victory for the Heat.
Yeah, Davion Mitchell, 5 of 5 from three-point range, which included 55% as a team for the Miami Heat from the three-point line, 23 of 42. When you make 11 more three-point shots than your opponent, you're probably ready for a blowout victory. And I like the Miami Heat to return the favor, which they lost on the road to the Hawks. Came back home, little South Beach diet out there. Quick little 20-point victory.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Three players last night made at least four threes. DRS mentioned Davion Mitchell, Tyler Hero, our three-point champ, 4 of 8 from deep, and Duncan Robinson. All he do is hit that long ball. He did it off the bench. He had six made threes last night. A bunch of those teams that we just mentioned, the Bulls, the Heat, the Hawks, all firmly in Eastern Conference play in tournament spots. The Bulls have a game and a half lead over Brooklyn for what would be that fourth and final play in tournament spot, the 10 seed currently in the Eastern Conference standings. The Pistons maintain a 5.5 game lead over the Magic for that 6-7 split. Hour two up next.